Maybe you've been listening to this thinking, okay, Jill, I want this. I don't want to focus on good and bad, right? I don't want to be labeling it. I know the spiral it creates, but there is such a thing as good and bad food. And I want to fix my bad eating habits, right? I get that. Living on Diet Mountain Dew and Lucky Charms for breakfast can't be a good thing, right, Jill? Which, by the way, I just want you to know this is something I did when I was in college, all in the name of fat free, you know? Which is hilarious, by the way, because I went on diet soda to lessen sugar and calories, but meanwhile, I was eating Lucky Charms. So I want to be clear. I'm not a proponent of you do you, eat whatever and whenever you want, and you'll just be happy and healthy. This is not that kind of message. I do care about quality. I do care about choosing nourishing chemical-free food. I do care. And I do know that what we eat and drink impacts our energy levels, our mood, our cravings, whether we're focused or present or checked out, whether we're calm or irritable, and so much more. I know that. But my mental approach to this is way different. And I prefer, and I invite you to do the same. I prefer to stop using the words good and bad and right and wrong. This is what I see with my clients, at least when they say, I've been good today. I ate good. So I've been good today, or it was a good day. Or I ate bad. Therefore, I've been bad, or I'm bad. Or I'm a bad person, like that. It kind of has that underlying message, even though they may not say it. So I ate bad, I've been bad, so I've got to eat good to make up for it tomorrow. So it's more transactional, right? And also in this way of thinking, it's tied to our worth and character as a human. I'm good or bad depending on the food I ate. And I prefer to look at this much different, right? Food at the cellular level is information. It provides information to our cells. And all information is doing something. Cells recognize the real food with the nutrients that it can use. Or cells are like, what is this, right? I don't recognize this. It's all providing data. Like, I don't know what to do with that. And that can fuel inflammation and fat storage, and it impacts our mitochondrial function and metabolism. And I imagine many of you, like me, were taught that metabolism is all about calories in and calories out. It's a simple math equation, right? But by definition, metabolism is the sum of all chemical reactions in the body. So, what you eat, right, the quality of it, whether it's nutrient dense or nutrient deficient, or when you eat, you could go 8 hours at night sleeping without eating, and then you go right through the morning skipping breakfast and lunch, or maybe just having coffee in the morning, or you start eating at 3. Maybe you graze kind of all through the day, or you're eating at 11 o'clock at night. All of this affects our cellular process, and we're made up of, at least what they tell us, about 37 trillion cells. So I don't claim to be trained in cellular biology here, but this is what I've picked up along the way in my training to help me also personally make sense of this. So then, if metabolism is the whole sum of all chemical reactions of the body, then it's not just what you eat, the calories there are, or when you eat, right, or our macros, but also how you eat and who you are as an eater. Are you a fast or slow-paced eater? I would encourage you to pay attention the next time you eat. Super eye-opening for me, at least. Most of us are really fast-paced eaters. Are you sitting at the table, relaxed and present, or are you standing up on the go, inhaling your food on the way out the door, in your car? I mean, you could be eating a very nutrient-dense meal, but under an enormous amount of stress and anxiety. Whether you're stressing about the calories or the right way of eating or your body, or this is the right food or wrong food, or just stress in life, you're eating in a state of rush, on the go, barely breathing, right? Or you could be eating a piece of cake lovingly prepared by your friend for your birthday with all your friends there, sitting around the table, relaxed, having a deeply nourishing time and connection. And from what I know, and I've read, and I've learned, and what we know about the stress state, your body will do more with that piece of cake than it could with that perfect meal that you ate under an enormous amount of stress. I love how Mark David puts it. He said, "Any guilt about food, shame about the body, or judgment about health are considered stressors by the brain and are immediately transduced into their electrochemical equivalents to the body or in the body. You could eat the healthiest meal on the planet, but if you're thinking toxic or stressful thoughts, the digestion of your food goes down and your fat storage metabolism goes up. Likewise, you could be eating a nutritionally challenged meal, but if your head and heart are in the right place, the nutritive power of your food will be increased." I love that. Just the whole chemical reaction, right? Not just what and when you eat, but your mind and your state of being. Because we also know that when we eat slowly, when we're present, breathing, maybe waiting for everyone around the table to get their meal, and then we don't just do that, but we look at the meal, we take in the aroma, we appreciate it and the hands that prepared it. We pause and pray over it. What we're doing in that moment is welcoming in the cephalic phase of digestion, and we will absorb those nutrients and digest our meal more fully. So I don't label food good or bad, right or wrong. Knowing all of this, I like to consider nutrient dense information for my cells that it can use and recognize. Am I relaxed or calm? And calm, can I give myself 10 minutes to sit and eat this meal, enjoying it without running to or thinking about the next thing? What is the next most nourishing option that sounds good to me? Or is this real food grown in the ground? Has it been sprayed with things that, like pesticides and glyphosate? What's the cleanest choice available to me that I can find and afford? These questions are way more interesting and useful to us than is this right or wrong way? These deeper questions build connection. Connection to ourselves, connection to the earth, connection to our creator. And as my friend Megan once put it, we are wired for connection. We're created for connection. So rushing out the door, disconnection. Eating fast, disconnection. Labeling food, disconnection. Highly processed in a lab, fully loaded with chemicals, is disconnection to the earth, the way God created us to live and be nourished. This isn't legalistic. To me, it's a pause and reconnecting to the way I was designed and created to live in community. In connection, what is most nourishing and true? And we won't do it perfectly, but we can be purposeful. So I want you to think about your most memorable meal experience ever. When I ask my clients this, like, oh, they give me all the details, right? It was where they were, it was like who was there, the sounds, what they saw, what they experienced. It wasn't just the food, although that could be a very beautiful part of it. It was the whole experience. And here's mine. And this is the experience, I will tell you, where everything shifted for me after my eating disorder to move from right and wrong and good and bad. And this was about 2 years into my marriage. I was much more fully functioning from my eating disorder at the time. By this point, I had gotten off my 4 liter a day diet, fix of diet soda, but I was still on the hunt for the right way. Subtly, like I was like thinking that was a good thing, like the right way of eating. It's all well intended, but I was getting caught in the right and wrong way. And if it felt wrong, you know, like bad, I wouldn't touch it. But you know, I was feeling like it was right. You know, I went through my juicing phase, I went through my fruitarian phase, my raw food phase, my vegan phase. And at this time, I believe I was either a vegetarian or vegan, but at any rate, I remember I was not eating meat. So at this time, our dear friends were moving from Michigan to Washington State, and they asked us if we wanted to make the trek with them in with their 24-foot Ryder truck and Honda Accord cross country to help them move out there. It was like a 3 to 4 day trip. And you know, we made it fun. We stopped in Yellowstone, the hot springs, but there were a long couple of driving days. I remember saying to him, "I will do this, but I will not go through fast food restaurants. Can I make a bunch of food for us to eat on the way?" I mean, it was amazing. I was dehydrating stuff and making granola and all these juices that I mean, it was very nutritious, but it was quite a lot. And so that gives you a sense for where I was at the time. But a few weeks before we left for this trip, there was a man named Eugene Peterson who was in town for a conference. And he was with our friends who were moving and heard that our friends, who they somewhat had acquaintance with and knew, were heading out west. And Eugene and his wife said, "Well, if you're passing through our town," which was in Montana, "if you're passing through our town, you're welcome to stay here for the night." And if you're familiar with who Eugene Peterson is, well, he, you know, first and foremost would probably love to be known in the public sector as a pastor. He's very well known as an author and teacher, and he wrote The Message, which is a translation of the Bible. And in our circles, this invitation was like celebrity invitation. Not like celebrity in that, oh, pomp and circumstance. This guy was a very humble man, but like a huge privilege to actually meet him and stay in his home and spend time with him and his wife Jan. So while it was not on our way, we made it on our way. And we drove up to this long-standing, unassuming family cabin turned home, sitting on the shoreline of Flathead Lake, Montana. Stunning, gorgeous, crystal clear water, mountain in the background. I mean, so stunning. So peaceful is all I can say. And his wife Jan was absolutely darling, full of life, so down to earth. They were both so welcoming and hospitable after our, arriving in our worn, a bit worn for wear. It had been a long 3 days and the last leg of our trip. And we get inside, and there's Eugene behind, standing behind the counter, big smile on his face. His soothing, raspy voice. And there he is in his crisp white button-down shirt, sleeves rolled up, his apron on, with his hands in a bowl making turkey burgers. And I looked at that bowl and I froze. For a moment, like the reactionary part of me was like, I was like legalistic vegetarian. I didn't eat meat. I had my reasons, ethical practices on the animals, believing it was the right choice for my health, all of that. But I remember that reaction, like, oh, what am I gonna do, right? But something in that moment shifted for me. This quiet, unassuming, but like larger than life man. I mean, a huge success in the eyes of the world, of course, but standing there, behind the counter, sleeves rolled up, apron on, serving us, preparing this meal, inviting us into their home, hardly knowing us, and making this meal from scratch and just feeling his love and the hospitality of him and his wife welcoming us, the garden salad that Jan had brought home from who she called her cute farmer, she said with a wink, Eugene smiling about that. And we ate dinner sitting on that back deck with Flathead Lake as our view, mountains in the background, warm breeze, amazing, beautiful conversation with beautiful people that I still remember, and the hilarious story that involved his conversation with Bono. And just their sheer hospitality as a couple that was and has been still next to nothing. It is something that my husband and I have been inspired to live by ever since. And I remember thinking, the pause. I took the pause and I remember thinking in my head, I am going to eat this turkey burger. And it's going to be the best turkey burger I ever had. I mean, think about it. This whole scene was like clouded by this thinking about food the right way. But I paused and I took in the entire experience. I'm going to eat this burger. It's going to be the best one I ever had. And it was not because of the burger. I don't even really remember how it tasted, though. I remember the whole experience of it. And I can still picture Jan's gorgeous salad with her lettuce and snap peas. And for the first time I had ever seen a homemade balsamic vinaigrette. But it was the whole experience. And it reminds me of a quote that I once read by Mark David. And I'm going to read it to you. He says, "Eat everything. How's that for an appetite-suppressing secret? Eat everything, all of it, everything in sight. But wait one moment, please. I guess I should explain further before you do this and gain a bunch of weight and sue me for eating psychology malpractice. So, yes, I really do want you to eat everything. And by everything, I mean all of your life. Life itself is your proper meal. The more present we are to everything on our plate, the more we digest and assimilate all the moments and magic and opportunities that life gives us each day. We become full on life, and the less we need to rely on mere food to satisfy our hunger for a fabulous life. I mean it. Appetite finds its rightful, natural place when we agree to fully indulge in the life we're given. The more we sit around waiting for the life we are meant to have, the hungrier we become. And that hunger twists and distorts itself into a strange urge for food. Yes, you're hungry. But you're hungry for a meal that's bigger than any you could have imagined. Dinner is served, and it's your life that's on the plate. Enjoy it, eat it, and enjoy." That's from Mark David. And I share this with you because when you move away from right and wrong, good and bad, it opens up an entire new relationship and experience with food and your entire life. I mean, I was just recently working with one of my clients who's recovering from an eating disorder. And one of the things she said to me this week was, she's like, "I realized how small my life had become. And the things that I find that are nourishing her are not necessarily the food on the plate, right? It's the whole experience. The things that are coming to life for her are expanding her life. And the conversation, like the things that she's having in conversation with people, she's going out, she's opening herself up again and living the fullness of life. And that's what I'm trying to get here. I care about the quality of food, in all of my research, I see it. I desire clean, chemical-free food. I care about how animals are treated and the way their life was designed to roam free and on pasture and grass and loved. I love visiting my farmers market. I have a relationship with my farmers. I like to buy the local meat wherever I can. I choose nourishing meals, but not from a place of obsession, or because it's the right thing to do, or because it's the good food, but because I love how I feel when I do it and I'm connected to the larger picture of it and the way God designed this. I choose clean food because I value my body and the earth, not because I'm afraid of getting it wrong. I plan my meals for freedom, or from a place of freedom, not obsession. And I meal prep to calm my week, to create a calm, not because it earns me gold stars. That rhythm and that structure frees my mind the rest of the week, and I see the evidence for that. It reduces my overwhelm. It's all from a place of love and care, not shoulds and ought tos. And it's not perfect, but that's my goal. It's still intentional, but I'm not rigid about it. It is purposeful and deeply aligned and connected to the way I want to feel and the way I want to care for my body. And over the years, I've learned that I can listen to researchers and get information about best practices, and that's all fine and sometimes helpful. But the ultimate goal is learning for myself what most nourishes me and reconnecting with me. And how do I build the rhythms and habits and mindset that support my well-being and bring connection to my health? The choices I make from a place of love and enjoyment, not fear. The place that connects me to my values to be a well-fed version of me. One pause, one connected decision at a time. And this is all over the last 25 years of my life, right? So you might be hearing this like, whoa, that's like a lot. And I hope it's inspiring at least. It's possible. And what I feel like I've done is to kind of taken everything I've learned to condense that so it becomes a much, you know, more efficient pace for someone that wants to learn to do this. But if you're just starting out, this is where the pause comes in. The pause that changes everything could be just the pause from autopilot and the mindset that says, you know, I'm too busy. I don't know what to do. Why do I keep doing this? All the things we've been learning in this series. The pause that could just start to ask the deeper question in the moment. What's the most loving, aligned choice for me right now? And we pause enough to ask, how do I want to care for myself? What are the things I do that I know help me feel better, more energized, more calm? And these are the kinds of pauses we can take. And then we build from that. Not, is this food right or wrong, good or bad, but is this nourishing? And when I eat it, how do I feel after I'm done? All of those kinds of things are where we start, and it begins with the pause. If this way of thinking resonates with you, this connected, intentional, deeply nourishing frame of mind, this is what we live and breathe inside the Nourished Woman lifestyle. This isn't just a podcast episode. It's the pulse of how we do things in there and how we do them differently, and they're life-giving. From food on your plate, right? And really learning about that, to the way that you speak to yourself, the rhythms you live by, the value that anchors you. This way of living moves through every course in the membership, coaching call, and mindset shift that we make inside this membership. And when you step into the Nourished Woman lifestyle, you surround yourself with the energy, support, and structure to live this way in your everyday life. You don't need another plan. What I propose is a new way of relating to yourself and the mindset shifts that support you. And it's waiting for you inside this membership. You can check the show notes for all the details and join us today. I would absolutely love to hear how this landed for you. And if you want to reply to the emails that I've been sending to you and let me know, I would love it.